everybody. Welcome to BBS Radio, where if it's not mainstream, it's on BBS, and you're listening to Growing Up Indigo with Adina. Today we were supposed to have Roberta Grimes on, but due to a mistake on my part, she's not going to be here today. But I do want to urge people to go to her site, and it is Roberta Grimes, R-O-B-E-R-T-A, Grimes, G-R-I-M-E-S.com. And I would like to just devote some time to giving you a little bit of background for her. I just feel that there are people who would be interested in hearing about some of her books and some information about her. So I'm going to give you a list of the titles of her books because I think there are people who might like them. I believe she's written about, from the list that I have, like 10 different books. And while Stephen King might have written more, I think that's about the only other person that wrote more. Okay, I'm kidding. But I know she wrote the Fun series. And as usual, here, I swear to God, this is 2 minutes ago. I had everything in front of me. And as usual, it's not here anymore. So you're going to have to go to her site to find the list of the books. But she did write the Fun series. And it's the new book. Actually, there's a newer book out. But the one we were going to talk about today was The Fun of Growing Forever. The one that I believe she published in 2010 was The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next. And she's written Liberating Jesus, and she's written some novels. And she is a novelist, a business attorney, and she had two extraordinary experiences of light as a child. And I think she spent decades, studying nearly 200 years of communications from the dead and afterlife experiences. And so she formed her in-depth understanding of who we are, how reality works, the nature of God, and her meaning, well, not hers, but it is, yeah, it's always our understanding and the meaning that we ascribe to our purpose of our lives. And that's when she started to write her books. No, her series on the Fun of. So I wanted to talk about, I do want to say something about just a quick thing I saw, that she has now tackled interracial issues. And I don't think it's the Fun of, it might, because I can't imagine that, but you never know. So please go to her site and look at the new book that's just out as well. Now, in the book that we were going to discuss today, and I'm not going to do that because she can't discuss it, but I do want to say that she also had a degree in early Christian history. And in this book, which I read, she discusses how she feels that Christians today are not following the actual work and teachings of Jesus. And she, in her book, goes through how so much easier and direct it would be if everybody just followed that. So I think that there are a lot of people out there that would be interested in hearing it. So again, please go to robertagrimes.com. She has many books out. She has a very joyful way of writing. And another thing that I really liked about Roberta was that there's no pretense, and it's just, she says what she means and she means what she says. And I like that. So please go to her and take a look. Okay. So Today, I was going to, I am so last minute. I was going to really talk about this one particular book, and it's called Letter to Earth by Ilya Wise. And I read this book when I believe when it first came out. I don't know how I got it. I have no idea, and I'm grateful I did. And then I started to think about books that had influenced me. And I know I did two shows about books that had influenced me. And yet this one I left out. I also left out all of the Palladian books. And there were two Barbaras that had written books about that. And one is Barbara, and I don't know if I'm saying her name right, but I think it's Barbara Marciniak. And then there's Barbara Han Clow. And both of them wrote about the Palladians. And I loved those books. They were so beautiful and so informative. And in every list that I've ever read from people that are metaphysicians or people that have written spiritual books, no one ever writes that they've read the Palladian series. No one. And I said, you know what? I don't believe they didn't read them, because everything in those books have been echoed over and over by so many people who didn't start writing until way after those books came out. And they're unbelievable. And if I think back to anything before, there was a big gap, is what I'm saying. There was a rush of writing in the 60s. In the 70s, it was kind of sparse in the 70s. In the 80s, late 80s, there started to be a lot of people coming out. And then in the very early 90s, there was a whole slew. And then back in the early 2000s, there was another big rush. So I thought they had to have read them, but no one writes them down. And then my second thought immediately was, and you know what's even more hypocritical than that? Me. Not once in anything I've ever talked about did I ever tell somebody, you have to read about the Palladians. And yet I did, and they remain today some of my most treasured books. So then I had an instance of right before coming on air, I had been back and forth, volleying emails with something that kind of jarred me. And I'm standing on my shelves and I have a plethora of things and books and this and that. And right in front of me is a book called Psychic Shield. And it's the Personal Handbook of Psychic Protection. And the author is Caitlin Matthews. And she is a tarot. She's got a beautiful two tarots, I think. And I have them both. And they're beautiful. I know they're both beautiful. I think she was the one who did one of my favorites, and this is what I do all the time, don't I? I don't remember anything, but I believe that she has, which is my favorite? Hold on, let me figure this out. It's not easy when you have 200 tarot decks. Let me see, is this her? I can't tell. I thought it was the hand, no, it can't be, because it wouldn't be that way. Anyway, I don't know which two are hers, but it's beautiful. That's all I remember. And so I'm sitting here looking at the Psychic Shield book, and I thought, why do I not, especially someone who is on the radio or reads a lot of people, I should be doing this. And I realized, too, that because I had a situation happened to me about 2 years ago where I had no idea, but someone that I knew nothing about, I would get on my fan page just a little hello from someone, and I would respond because I usually do. And this person would just write and write again, and that was fine. And eventually, this person started to talk about their issues, and that was fine. That's what I do. And more and more, I started to feel as if my energy was being kind of drained. And there were times during the night when I've never felt this in my entire life, where every single ounce of energy was literally being drained from my body. And I said, what is this? What on earth is this? And it was a horrible feeling. And I finally put two and two together, and I flat out asked them, is this you? And that person said, yeah, it is. I was thinking that I needed you to help me, to help heal me. And it didn't come out until months later that this person, before I had ever spoken to them, had a friend who knew a lot about how to tap into somebody's energy source. It was very sophisticated, and they taught them how to do that. And without my knowledge, had hooked into that months before ever introducing themselves. So by the time they introduced themselves, they had already connected. And because I didn't do some kind of protection, and I'll tell you what I do now, I don't do exactly what's usually recommended because I have my own. But so months before having introduced themselves, they had already connected and gotten in, and I had never felt the pull on my energy, because it wasn't until I had already done a healing. And I think that was what the catalyst for them being allowed to do it was. So I finally, of course, blocked everything there. And I kind of have a shield up now. And the way I protect myself now is by doing my specific meditations. They're just me. I don't protect myself with anything with the way people usually ask you to do. I do it with actually Jill Mattson's, it's not Jill's, but Jill Mattson sells that sound and light machine that I talk about all the time. And that's what I use. And when I do that, I feel so wonderful, and I envision, and actually I do it almost in an opposite way. Rather than block and say stop and halt and don't move, I do it differently. I send out love to anyone who needs it. I send love to myself, and I just surround us all in a very healthy, loving way, which I feel really protects us and me much better than a kind of force field and don't come near me. So that's what I do. But I picked this book up because I felt that it would be something that everybody could get a little bit of. And I really wanted to talk about read parts of this. I just opened it up and it says enduring pain with patience and breaking up. And it just says lover's separation ritual. I'm trying to understand what this does. I guess if you're going through a separation, it makes it, I'm trying to understand. Oh, you're supposed to say, I take back what I have given you, him, her. I don't know about that. I'm critiquing the book, obviously. You know, I don't know you can do that. Here is what I would specifically say, and I'll tell you why. I don't think that you can ever, and you should not want to take back any genuine love you ever gave anyone. I think you could say, I let go of any resentment, any negative ties that we have, but I wouldn't take it back. And then you're supposed to physically give each other back a token or send back something that was given to you by your partner as a witness. So I'm really taking this out of context. Forget. Then there is something about finding someone. Ooh, we should really do this. Okay. Now, oh my God, she goes into something really, really serious. Wow. This is a good book. Okay. Get Psychic Shield, Personal Handbook of Psychic Protection. But I do want to say something that here's the back. Strengthen your psychic health, overcome negative relationships, free yourself from fear and self-doubt, deal confidently with difficult people, become attuned to spiritual guidance, live in harmony with others, maintain boundaries that keep you safe. And while I believe that this is a lot of pretty good things, I feel that I don't know that every single thing has to be completely done like this, but absolutely. I think that sometimes we don't have any idea of how to do anything. And boy, this would be a pretty good thing to start with. So I would get it, and I'm going to read some of it. Now, let me go back to the original point of why I wanted to bring up Letters to Earth, and I wanted to bring up the Palladian series and all of that. And because I think it was so beautiful. And it was, this book was written by Elia Wise, and I never ever heard of anything she did afterward. She just, I guess, was not someone who decided to get on the, she was on the circuit, I read, after this book came out, but I didn't really see anything together. So, I'm sorry, afterward. So, let me just tell you a little bit about her first. And I didn't know this. Apparently, I didn't have much curiosity at that time. And the reason I didn't was because I was. I was. I was working. This book was published in 2000, I believe. Let me just check. Letter to Earth, and yeah, it was public. Oh no, I'm sorry. That was this book, but it was written. She is one of them. Yes, she's one of them. This was copyrighted in, I knew it, 1987. And that was my point. That's it. She was one of the first people that I call the second wave. And late 80s, they all came in. Now, the funny thing is, she didn't channel this work, and it's not psychic, which I can't believe because it's the most beautiful book, really, one of the most beautiful books I've ever read. And she just wrote this out of experience, which I can't, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. To write something like this, she would have had to have been coming from her soul that had lived many, many centuries. But according to the biography, this was experience. And she was very young when she wrote this, and she wrote it as a letter to her young daughter. And I can't believe it. I find it really hard to believe. So she had a history of accomplishment and she was known for her original thinking, obviously, and her ability to communicate complex ideas in an easy way. So when they were reviewing it, they said that this was completely new discoveries, and in psychology and research and science, and it really was. So she was, before she did this, she was working in the business world. And when she was 20, she invented people paper. And it was a poster kind of product that they sold all over the world. And Time magazine wrote her up. And she was on Good Morning America with Barbara Walters. And then at 22, she started delving into the nature of reality, but she had already started that at the age of 8, which that seems to be the age that everybody kind of really starts. Although I had started younger, it was at 8 that the mediumship came in and I started to freak out and hide under the bed. So she says, by the time I was old enough to grasp that life is an everyday event, I wanted to know how it all worked, who we are, and why we're here. That seems to be it, right? So she found an extraordinary mentor, and she was privately tutored for 4 years. And then she weaned herself from that person. And she says that, She says that her mentor never explained anything, which is funny, that he kind of would pop in and pop out of realities. I can't imagine that. And then let her directly discover the multidimensional nature of things. Oh no, it was a horror. And she told her that explaining was her job. No, was Ilya's job. If that makes sense. I don't really say things, that well. So it took her 12 years to fully integrate what she had experienced. And then, this letter to Earth is that. This all came from her mentor. So wait, she was 22 when she wrote this? Wow. I'm like shocked. I don't know. Wait. So she was, no, it's okay. I can't do math. Forget it. Okay. So I just want to read something. So if this, and I just want to give you has anybody ever heard of Letters from Michael? Because it was written in 19, no, it wasn't. It was channeled from 1978. To 2002. The book was written in 1976. I'm trying to remember Ramtha by Jay-Z Knight was absolutely a channeled work. And that was, I believe, I don't know if I'm right, that was written in 2001. I don't know. That doesn't sound right to me. I bet that was not true. I think it was written way before that. So what I'm saying is I think that was the late 80s too. I think that all of these things were the second wave people. Louise Hay came out. Now here's where she differs. You're wondering, what's your point? Can you get to it already? I can't because I'm not clear yet. This is how I work things out. So Louise Hay came out in 1984 with You Can Heal Your Life. Here's where she completely diverts from everything. And this is why they call her the mother of self-help. While everybody, and by no means is one better than the other at all, it's just that everybody was doing this amazingly deep, heavy, what's your purpose? And it was beautiful and it was deep and it was transcendent in nature and vibrational frequencies and everything. Louise Hay took all of that and then said, wait a minute. And by the way, everybody was writing about how our thoughts create our reality. So Louise said, okay, that's, I believe that. And I have cancer and I'm going to cure that right now. And although people had said that, and all across the board, they had been either channeled or known or whatever, they had said that our thoughts create our reality. And if you want to change your reality, change your thoughts and feelings. Louise said, all right, so let's put our money where our mouth is. And here I go. So she did it. She did it. And not only did she do it, but she told us how to do it. Then she actually had a part in the book that listed every part of the body and said, well, if this is wrong and this is going bad and that part's going bad, it's because you have an idea or a mindset or a core belief that you feel this way. That was really the first time that was ever done, except for Edgar Cayce, who doesn't really do it that way at all, because what he did was just in trance tell someone what was wrong and give them the recipe, so to speak, of what to do to make it right. So Edgar Cayce didn't tell us, hey, guys, do this as a whole. He told people privately and readings for them. So it was touched on once, but not like this. So that's why they call her the mother of self-help, because she really was in that way. And that's where I think it totally breaks off into another area. All right. Now you're just saying, okay, sleeping. All right, here we go. So I want to just read you just anything from this. I'm going to pick up Barbara Marciniak, and I'm just going to read you something from The Family of Light. And then, oh, it's 4:30 already. Oops. No. It is 1:30 p.m. PT. By me, it's a different time. So I'm going to take our break now. So when we come back, I'll just do a few things. And then I have one reading that I want to do. And the reason I'm doing one today is because I don't like rushing through readings. That's not how I do my readings in real life. This is real life. But in my private practice, I like to take my time, which is why I don't do minute by minute. And that's why I give a block of time so we can take our time. And also, the reading that I have today is just 2 pages in the question. So I'd like to devote some quality to that question. And you are listening to BBS Radio Station 1 and Growing Up Indigo with Adina. And we will be right back. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to BBS Station 1, Growing Up Indigo. So here we are, and I am back with Letter to Earth from Ilya Wise, and I'm picking it up, and I flipped open, and guess where I fell? The exact almost middle of the book, and this is, and it's like, it's chapters where she, it's like a short essay on different subjects. And she wrote, this is the one, do we in the cosmos have relationships and fall in love? Now, remember, this is not channeled. This is supposed to be experience. I guess this is how her experience when her mentor would pop in and out of the universe. So we in the cosmos do fall in love. We fall in love in order to get into our dimensions, like Alice down the rabbit hole. Falling into the state of being love is not about loving another person. It is about loving everything and that all that is. So all that is all that is. Because we who enjoy participation in more enlightened universe communities are already in the state of love when we are drawn to one another. We cannot help but be in love with every being who we enter into a relationship. Still, in each intimate relationship, we experience alignments and intensities of feeling that are unique to that union. Sometimes, what we in the cosmos feel and how we express ourselves resembles what you feel and express when you fall in love. However, even when our responses are like yours, they will not have your meanings and implications. We, in the greater universe, do not construct meanings and implications. We have direct experience and direct knowledge. Our experience is direct because we have no subconscious conscious separation. Holding aspects of reality apart from your direct experience requires you to have separation between your subconscious conscious awareness. There is nothing we feel the need to withhold from ourselves, individually or collectively. And I just want to stop there for a second. When I had my, I call pre-near-death experience, I was pretty shocked to find out that when I was there in what I call no time, I was shocked that there was literally no time. So there was no future, past, or present. There was also absolutely nothing. There was no concept for lying or no concept for withholding information. There was nothing like that. Everything I felt was automatically known to the person standing in front of me. And I would not have dreamed of having it any other way. It was the most wonderful thing that you could imagine. Because in that particular reality where I believe we really exist, it was wonderful. Because mostly what we really feel is love when we get up there. And even, I'm telling you, I don't even know how to explain this. There's no... We really don't get, we don't dislike anybody up there. And the love was overpowering, and they knew exactly how I feel. I knew how they felt. So that's what she's saying. There is nothing we feel, okay. There is no experience or perception we want to exclude. Being fully integrated, we have nothing from the past to reconcile. We are current with our reality and trusted to reveal the expanding nature of all that is. Very true. When I was up there, this is what I kept saying. Oh my God, it's now. It's now, 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 now. In fact, that's what I called it. I called it now, 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 now. There was no past. I didn't even know what past was. I knew that I had just come from a place that had a past, a now, and a future. And when I was up there, I kept saying, oh my God, there is nothing like that. It's now, 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 now. So that's what she's saying. Space-time being an option for us rather than a constant. It is nearly impossible for us to become contained within any relationship. Our individual magnetism and our multidimensional Reality assure that we will continue to experience dimensions of personal and universal reality beyond those aligned between us. So I want to go down. Okay, there are no engagements, marriages, or divorces. Our nature does not have lifelong relationships. Oh, wait, she says no. Our relation, it doesn't preclude them. It does support them. However, no status or value is attached to them. So they can have them, but it's not a status kind of thing. Our shared love can produce combinations of identity, and it can activate new possibilities in each of us. This activation might even empower a new energy constellation, the birth of a new frequency, or a new combination of frequency in the form of offspring. That's said a little clinically, isn't it? The biggest difference between universal lovers and human lovers is that we in the cosmos approach intimacy to discover what lives in the moment What lives in the moment if we don't put anything there? We do not replace the essence of the moment with what we wish would be there or what has been there in a past moment. Hello, can we relate? Yes. What attracts any one being to any other is more subtle and multidimensional than can be readily imagined. Beyond the apparent connection, there is a unique and invisible alignment of variables. Even though you may feel them on Earth, you do not usually recognize the invisible dimensions that are attracting you to one another. Often, before you allow yourselves enough time to fully inhabit these dimensions of alignment, you limit their potential by launching into a familiar or desired form of relationship. I believe she's calling that patterns of behavior that we all do. Okay, so, this is common between human lovers. As soon as your attraction is mutually acknowledged, your projections are unleashed and the multidimensional potentials recede from consciousness. Right. So we know what she's saying. Okay, let me move on and look for something I'm speed reading. No, I didn't take the Evelyn Wood course, but I can do that. Okay. She's telling us that we who live here, on Earth, we aren't really free of that. And what is needed is us to become aware of our multidimensional values and become free to release ourselves from that. And all we are really founded on the same universal values that they have, but because of our separation, we are not doing that. She's saying where she is talking from, they're sufficiently them. And they have implicit trust in each other. And so they don't have to have those rules, nor do they have to, they don't have to box each other in. In other words, she says that they can have whatever they choose to have in any moment they choose. Many sensitive people in your society are beginning to experience their capacity for this type of merging. Their natural development of this ability, she's talking about the ability to return to an individual identity or to have a together identity or then to return to another kind of merging. So let's see. These people generate stimuli that awakens others to their potential for merging. They also provide a grounded magnetic field that supports merging, an energetically based support group. You know where I just went with that? Oh my God, I should be like censored. I did. What is it called again? Polygamy? Is that how you pronounce it? Polygamy. No, What am I talking? I don't know. Forget it. I didn't say that. In addition to this natural expansion of communication skills into merging, you have a large population of people who, as a result of injured childhood development, have been unknowingly merging with others throughout their lives. The injury sustained by these people is contained within the dynamics of your local temporal reality. The healthful identity of each of them is preserved and always accessible at the universal or soul level. I'm going to talk about that in a second. By learning to convert the sloppy boundaries of unintentional merging into the graceful bridges of conscious merging, these individuals can garner a prize from their pain and access the healing resources of their souls. In their processes of self-healing, they can reinstate personal well-being and provide healing stimuli for the universal collective. And you know what? And that's so true. The more we heal ourselves, every time we have a healing thought, we actually literally move toward healing the entire human race. Now, I just wanted to say something about our energy and our healthy energy and address this. From what I've heard, and I'm not going to say what I know, because what I know is subjective, and I won't do that. But what I've heard is that we don't take even one quarter of our real energy to Earth in any life, and that a lot of our energy is back home. So back home is all of us, I mean, all of our soul. And of course we can access, we can't go back and get all our energy, but we can access a healthy part of our soul. And this is one lifetime, and the scars of our childhood, some people are affected always, and some people just don't. They're not affected as badly. We can always, oh my God, at 444 every day of my life. There it is again. So we can have a much more healthy relationship with ourselves and with others. And we do have sometimes relationships that repeat the pattern with another person. It's another person, but it's the same pattern. We might as well stay with the same person because that's what we're doing in essence. So what we can do is just ask that we be reunited with our soul, our oversoul, our higher soul, our true soul, and ask that the lesson we're here to learn, and that's got to be, no matter what, it has to be love and forgiveness. That's at the basis of anything. And ask that we align ourselves with that and come from that place. And so that's what she's talking about. And she says, the door to the rabbit hole is open. We look forward to falling into love with you. And I think that really is the answer for us. And then she goes on to talk about how humanity can free its children from the pattern of its past. And that there are only two issues I think that I get on my soapbox about. And this is one of them, children. I didn't have a child until late in life because I refused to mess with another life. Yeah, I could mess my own life up, but not my kids. So now I'm not going to do the psychic shield only because I really did want to give this reading my attention. And what I am going to say, and I've said this before, is I do want to give people, and in private readings, I go into detail about these things, but I do want to say that color is amazing for healing, affection, protection. So I'm going to go through the list again of the colors, what they do for you, and how you can use them. If you're in a situation that you feel attacked by, and you feel that it is not safe for you, immediately put up a purple, like a color shield or around you. You can put purple however you want to, as around you or, you know, whatever way you want to do that. But seal yourself in purple, because purple is protection. White is also protection. So purple or white. And if you're driving somewhere and you feel whatever, you can do it every day. I would put white around the car and yourself. Or your loved one is driving and you're whatever, I would put white around them. Just picture them driving with white around their car. If you are not feeling well or someone else isn't feeling well, surround them in green. Green is healing. It's Archangel Raphael. By the way, the purple blue for protection is Michael. It doesn't have to be. If you don't particularly believe that, that's okay. Just put purple blue around you. If you are looking to send affection to somebody, send them pink. Don't put any real specific feeling in it at all. That kind of, I'll talk about that another time, but just send kind of like a generic affection for them, just generic, but put pink around them. If you would like some affection, but again, no specifics, just put pink around yourself and be open to receiving. So those are the colors, the main colors, and stay away from red for now, because I can talk about that later. But I wouldn't go to red for a couple of reasons. It's not something to play with. It can go a couple of different ways. Okay, so I am going to start to read this, and we'll see how quickly I can go. I'm going to edit this because it's super, super long. Here we go. So she says hi, and her name is SN. She gave me all her information. I am completely leaving it out, as I would do for you. She was born on a day and a year, and she was born in another country. And she has questions about a man whose name is KM, and his information, and their information, and her, like, family stuff. Okay. So now A is a principal of a school, and she has a son who goes to that school. And he needs to have some special schooling, and they have done some tests. So this man works at that school, and they were given, after the tests, some options. Mm-hmm. And they had two options. Allow the son to stay at the school, or switch schools and go to one that is for him. She had two meetings with this person. And now, I do want to mention very quickly that I did the first part of this reading when she had the first meeting with this person. Why do I remember when I usually don't remember? Because, number one, she wrote a really long email, and I took notice of that. Two, I don't know. I really don't know why I remember, but I did. Not sure why, but I did. And, yes, I do know why. Because the reaction from both of them was very similar and very strong. That's why I remember. Okie doke. So she says that this person seemed, So in her first meeting, it went well. And they shook hands, and they didn't shake hands when they left. So she said, she was supposed to hand him her coffee cup because they had given her coffee. And instead, she shook his hand, and it was very embarrassing. Apparently, there was no shaking of hands. So she was very embarrassed, but he seemed very relaxed, but he wouldn't look at her fiance. He put all his focus on her. I'm going through this with details, so, you know, maybe I shouldn't. I don't have long to read. Okay, so let's make a long story short. Okay. It was a very intense kind of like eye contact. Then a week later, what? Wait, hold on. She was in the park and she saw at a distance a man with a dog, and he was looking at her, and she wasn't sure, but she thought it was him. Then she's in her kitchen a few days later, and she felt him standing there. And then she had a second meeting, and she put it down on her calendar, and she was right on time. And then when she got to the meeting, he said, "You're late." And she said, "There's no way she would miss a meeting like that." And then they set up for another day, and he was very strange. And when she got there, his face lit up. And I'm reading. She decided that her son wanted him in his regular class, not switching schools. She didn't hear anything until February when he called. And he said that he wanted another meeting. And then in March, he called her fiance. And he never had his number. I don't know. Okay. During the meeting, I didn't realize February 2nd that her son was going to change schools. So her son starts the new school this month. She hasn't spoken to him. And now she feels that he is attracted to her. And she feels that they're both afraid of each other. And so now she wants to know, is he ever going to tell her, and what's going to happen and all of that? So, okay, let's see. All right, I have a really good handle on the whole thing. Now I'm going to find out. Okay, so I have him, kind of have him. Yeah, I think I do. And I'm going to ask him, what's going on? He's kind of sounding very mysterious. And so we're going to find out. All right. I have his name in my head. Well, not really. I have his first name. Not all the information. Okay, let's see. So far, what I'm feeling, oh boy. Now, I do get that he is underneath the reading. And when I say underneath the reading, what I mean is that karma, I guess, the basic impetus for the reading is that he is thinking of a relationship. Now, what I have to figure out is, I happen to know, because she told me, that he has another relationship, as does she. So my job is to find out which relationship I'm really getting. Okay, and I will find out in just a minute. How? Well, I'll let you know. So here's what I'm doing. I am going to tell you that around the perimeters of all of this, I see that something very new has come into his life. I see him feeling that I have a lot of responsibility. He feels that I'm not prepared for this. He's feeling, wait, I'm not prepared. I have responsibility. And that for me is, that is telling me that it is S he's thinking of, because he is saying, I didn't expect this. Where did it come from? Where is it coming from? I'm also getting that he worries. He's a worrier. He's also telling me that he he says he likes to usually have a control thing. Not that he is controlling, but he's somebody who controls his own world. He doesn't like feeling out of control. He's also saying to me that he doesn't want to, and anybody would be, he doesn't want to lose the security that he has. And I understand that. And he says that, yeah, he says, I'm excited. I'm very excited. I'm very excited. Hold on a minute. He's, okay, I understand now. He clearly told me that he knows she feels the exact same way. So S, he knows you know. Number two, he the situation that he's in the other one, he's a little scared of her. He's not scared of you at all. He's scared of her. So that's why he's terrified of her. And apparently, let me find out why. Why? I'm not going into their relationship. I just want to understand what it is that is causing that. I mean, I understand it. So do you, but not to this extent. So hold on. Okay. So tell me why. Ah, okay. Because he's telling me, well, yeah, he's telling me that it's been, and I knew that before I asked that, he has been extremely, no, I'm not going to go into that here, but forget that. I'm going to tell you that he is very, yes, very attracted to you and very much wanting to do something or make somehow this start, but he is very not able to do that. He could never make that kind of decision, and he's very afraid, and he's very torn about what to do. And he, again, as I said, being out of control in his emotion like this is not something that ever happens to him. And think about what he does for a living. That should let you, you know that he either picked a, you know, profession because that's the type of person he is, or having that profession even more made him that type of person. So yeah, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I believe that at first he's going to think about ways in which this could possibly go, or he could possibly do something. And what is going to happen is he's not going to be able to, because his security, I do think he'll talk to you. Absolutely. And I do think that, he will absolutely talk to you. Will he ever do anything? Absolutely not. No. And the reason I say that is because I am reading him, and there is no way that he is going to at all chance any kind of repercussion. So while he feels that, absolutely, he can't do anything. And I just want to thank you guys for being here with us today at BBS Radio, and we will see you next week. Thanks for joining us at Station 1 BBS Growing Up Indigo. Bye.